This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Mondra, Lilu Nishmas, Aviem, Harab Reb Chaim Aaron Ben Reb Shmuel. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lilu Nishmas, Harab Shraga Tuvia, Ben Dosan Halevi. Yud Zayin Adar. Yud Zayin Adar, 4th of March, Rabbi Pesach Kron, the Maggid on Pesach.
It's a great schus to be able to come back to Torah Way. It's one of my favorite organizations in the world. I wish we could have something like this in New York. It's the reason that I came here at this time of the year is there's a fellow from Hendon. His name is Ben Shooter. He made a bar mitzvah for his son, and he invited me to come to the bar mitzvah to speak numerous times. And it's just been an extraordinary Shabbos. I had the schus yesterday to speak Shalom Shooters by Diane Erentroy. So to be together with so many wonderful people is so special. Of course, I have to thank my dear friend Dudi Yitkowitz, who always makes sure that I'm kept busy when I come here. Somebody that's Oisik, B'tzorcha Tzibur B'yamunun, the Eibusha should pay him back, him and his family. The posters that I made are always so gorgeous. I always thank Ruth Collins from Manchester. And this week I was on the pictures together with Rav Kimchi, who I really got to know this past Shabbos. What an extraordinary person. And Rabbi Potash, who I know. And finally, I just want to thank a fellow, Menachem Saltzman, because he's the one who's thought of this whole idea of Torah Way from Manchester. And now, Baruch Hashem, the ones who, as Dudi mentioned, the ones who really deserve the thanks are all of you who come. So many come every day, and they come to various shurim. And I'm just so proud to be part of this great, great system. I want to begin by telling you a very moving incident that happened to me a number of years ago. It happened by surprise. I know that Dr. Harris is here, and I met with his children last night, and I told them the story, so I know they're in the car now. I hope they don't mind hearing it again. But this story happened about almost 18 years ago. I had a little grandson today. He's 22, learning in Eretz Yisrael, but at that time, he was 3 years old, and he was in the house, you know, by the Seder. I give everybody a bracha, every one of you here, and everybody who's going to be listening on TorahAnytime.com around the world, that you should all be zeicha to sit with children and grandchildren at the Seder table. There's nothing like it. So I'm sitting at the table with children and grandchildren, and this little boy, Avram, was named after my father, Avram Zelik. So he's running in and out of the dining room. You know, obviously the kid can't follow the Seder. And we're just about ready to come to Vehisha Amda. Now we know that Vehisha Amda is one of the happiest moments of the Seder. Everybody picks up the kais and everybody sings it together. And all of a sudden he comes over to me and he says, Zaidi, can I sit on your lap? Now, Mr. Hashem, all of you will be Zaydis, and you'll see that when your little Einikel wants to sit on your lap, I mean, what's the question? Of course, there's nothing better than that. So I put him on my left lap, and the reason I was, because I had to hold the kais with my right hand, I'm a righty, and we started singing Vehisha Amda. And as we started singing Vehisha Amda, all of a sudden, I was looking at the words as I never looked at them before, and I started crying. And I just couldn't control myself. Now, it was awful, because everybody's happy, everybody's singing, and the head of the Seder's crying. And I'm trying to cover my eyes and look down, and the more you try to stop crying, you continue crying. And, you know, everybody's wondering, like, what's going on here? But I really didn't want to get into it. I didn't want to ruin the ambiance of the Seder and the uplifting mood. But really what was hurting me and made me cry was these words. The Baal HaGod is telling us, Shelo yachad bilvad amad aleinu l'chaleseinu. Not only one nation is trying to get rid of us, El shebechol dar v'dar oyindim aleinu l'chaleseinu. Every generation, there's goyim, they're trying to get rid of us. And I was thinking, doesn't it stop? When does it end? We lost 6 million. We lose so many Israeli soldiers. We lose so many Yidden, Nebuchadnezzar, to Goyim in so many different ways. And the Baal HaGadol is telling you, it continues. It doesn't end. And I'm thinking, what's the future of this child, this grandchild, and all the kids his age? They're also, I don't even want to say, they're going to have to go through something like that. It's terrible. And I tell you the truth, after we finished Rishamda, again, I didn't want to explain anything. I didn't want to ruin the Seder. But after the Seder, I went looking in every single Haggadah that I had. Because I wanted to see somebody that's going to write something that's going to give me some solace and some comfort. And then I came across the Chidah's Haggadah. Now the Chidah is very interesting, and he asks a question. He says, what is the Baal HaGadah talking about? What do you mean? There are many, many generations where Yiddishkeit flourished. And flourishes even today. Let's say in America we had 100,000 at a CMHS. Look at all these shuls and the Beis Yaakovs and the yeshivas here in England. And all over the, so many places in Canada, and Yidden were in Poland for 700 years. And for many, many years, Yiddishkeit flourished. So what do you mean? And he gives a remarkable insight. And he says, it's not only the sword, but it's the smile. In other words, why in America today is there, Rahman al-Litzlan, over 60% intermarriage, Yidden and Goyim? You know why? Not because they're trying to kill us, just the opposite. Because Jennifer, or, you know, George, or whatever, can get a job in any place, join any country club that's filled with Goyim, and they socialize and they get together. And they could work and everybody can get a job and they don't have to be Machal Shabbos and everybody's sensitive to that. So if that's the case, because they interrelate in very friendly atmospheres, so therefore that's what the Baal HaGadol is telling us. Be careful. He's not telling you, he's not threatening that it's going to be the sword in every generation. When you go out in the street and you work with the Goyim, be careful. Because really what they're trying to do is befriend you and take you away from your Yiddishkeit. And that's really what it's all about. That's what the Baal HaGadol was telling. So all of you know that I am a Mael. So the first day, Chol HaMoed, I had a bris in Long Island, which is far from where I live, about 60 miles out. And the name of the place was, of all places, called Mount Sinai. And the bris, the father was a goy. Napolitano, Italian guy. Right? Nice guy, but he's a goy. How did he meet his wife? Probably in some college or some club or whatever, Jennifer. She was not from, obviously. But her parents wanted to have a bris. So we did the bris. And after the bris, I wish I would have had my camera. I turned around at the table to see what was on the table. You wouldn't believe it. A blue box of Hurwitz Margaret matzahs. Right next to the matzahs was a bowl of bagels. Right next to the bagels was a meat platter. Right next to the meat platter was a cheese platter. Every aveira that you could think of. Basa, b'cholav, kosher, treif, chametz, and matzah. I was thinking, what does Eliyahu HaNavi think about a bris like this? What does Abishah think about a bris like this? How did this happen? This didn't happen because of the sword. This happened because of the smile. Because, as we said, these kind of girls, they can go to any college, they can go to any country club, and the boys as well. And that's what happens. Because of the smile, Rahman al-Litzlan, that's what happens. That's the terrible intermarriage. And that's the thing that we have to be so careful. Wherever we live, even in Eretz Yisrael today, it's galus. And especially Canada, America, England, and Europe. Wherever you go, you're surrounded by people that you have to be careful that you shouldn't allow the influences. And that's what we have to talk about the Seder. Not only the sword, but be careful about the smile. So I want to tell you something also, one of the greatest insights that I ever heard on Seder. Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he has a kasha. You know, he says, every time when you say the word hamokim, it's always sad. For example, hamokim minachem, right? Chas v'shalom, somebody sitting shiva, so we say hamokim. Now, what happens if somebody loses money? What do we say? It says in Shulchan Aruch, Hamokam Yemalei Chasroinach. That's in Brochas Tezayin Amud Beis. You tell the person, you lost money, don't worry, Hamokam, the Eibishter will fill your loss. And when we say the Tefillah Achenu Kobayis Yisrael, what do we say? Hamokam Yerachem Aleim, the Eibishter should have Rachmanas. So Hamokam is a place, is the word Hamokam means place. And what are we saying to the person who lost a close relative? Or somebody who lost money, or somebody who's stuck in a foreign country. Hamokim, David is all over the place. Don't worry. You think that you can't get out, you can get out. Hashem knows what he's doing. He's all over. He's right next to you. And just daven, or just have the amuna, mitzvah Hashem, David will take you out of this difficult situation. Everything can change. Hamokim, so we say, Hamokim, Hashem is all over the place. So yes, Akasha, But what's it doing at the Agoda? Baruch Hamokim, Baruch Hu. If you say Hamokim every time that it's difficult, this is the happiest night. You're sitting with children and grandchildren. And it gives a fabulous insight. He says sometimes a father or a mother or a grandfather or grandmother is sitting at the Seder table and they see a grandchild or they see a child with an earring. But that's not a girl, it's a boy. The boy's wearing an earring. And then he thinks about where his granddaughter or his daughter's been the past year. And it's Gehenna on this earth because Nebuch, so many are falling by the wayside. So the Baal HaGadol wants to tell you, don't give up on any child ever. That's why it says Baruch four times. Baruch HaMokoyim Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanos Antero Lam Yisrael Baruch Hu. A father or a mother or a grandparent is looking at the child and thinking, oy vey, they've gone off so far. How are we ever going to get this child back? No, the Baal HaGadol is telling you, everyone is a bracha. Never, ever give up. And I'll tell you something so amazing that anyone who's listening here today, here in London, or else until any time around the world, never give up on a child. And I'll tell you something. The Pasuk tells us in Bereishis Mem Ches Yutes that we all know the story when Yaakov switched his hands and put his right hand on Ephraim and the left hand on Manasseh, and Yosef thought that, you know, what is his father doing? And Vayimoinov, Vayimei Yadati Bini Yadati, don't worry, Yaakov says, I know what I'm doing. Gam Hu Yiel Am, don't worry, Manasseh will also be special. And listen, Vagam Hu Yidal, he'll be great. Now listen to this expression and listen how the Klei Yochar talks about it, and it'll give us all so much chizuk. V'ulam ochiv hakotan, the little guy, the one that you thought was not going to give you the nachas, yigdal mimeno. He's going to be great than all of them. And how many times that it happens in a family that you have a child and you think this child, nothing's going to be from him. What's going to be from her? And then it turns out that somebody encouraged them, somebody gave them a certain feeling, and they rise to the top. And listen what the Klei Yochar writes. What does it mean in Bereishis Mem Ches Tazayin, if you want to look it up? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boicher B'Yosef B'Ktanim. Hashem chooses those in the family that have something inferior about them. V'chol Adam She'yesh B'Yitzat Katnos. Every child, every person that has something that you might think is inferior. Oz B'Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magbiyah L'Shisel Alfei Ravava. This one, this child that you thought nothing was going to be, that child becomes a leader of thousands. And then he writes, again, that you should never give up on any child. You see that by Avram Avinu, he had Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the younger one. Yaakov had Esav, right? Yitzchak, rather, had Esav and Yaakov, and Yaakov was the younger one. And that's where the Nachas came from. And he writes, Haloidovarhu Vahmaskilam Yavir. Intelligent people will understand this. And that's really what the Yom Tov of Pesach is all about, telling us every child around the table is a bracha. You never give up. There are four different types of children, but each one is a baruch. And that's, again, a lesson that we have to keep in our hearts and tell it over to the children, that we never give up on any of them. I'll tell you an amazing story. And I heard this from the family themselves. The Blujva Rebbe was in Bergen-Belsen. And they had some flour. They were able to get some flour before Yom Tov to make matzahs. And now, what happened was that the question was, they had a few matzahs, who do you give them to? So it's Gvorna Shaila back and forth. Do we give them to the adults, those few matzahs, because after all, the adults have a chiyuv of matzah, or maybe we should give it to the children as chinuch? So they went to the Blujva Rebbe, and he paskin they should give it to the adults. And a lady came over to him, a woman who was Nebuch, her husband was already killed, and she was taking care of a nephew and a niece. She came over to the Blujva Rebbe, and she said, Rebbe, I hope you don't mind my differing with you. Can I just give you my viewpoint? And he said, of course. She said, look, Rebbe, the adults, they remember what matzah is all about. If we get out of here, nobody knows who's going to get out of here. If the adults are the ones that get out, so when they make a Seder in the future years, they'll know from their youth what matzahs are. But these kids, they're not going to remember. Let's give them the matzahs. Let's be machanach them with this mitzvah so that if they are the ones that get out, they will be able to remember what Mesiras Nefesh there was to have matzahs on Pesach, and they'll be mekayim that mitzvah in the future. And you know something? The Blujva Rebbe was so taken by what she said, not only did they give the children the matzahs, but he married her. That was his second wife. And her children told me about it. It's amazing. He realized this is a woman with chayr, with seichel. This is a woman who understands what chinuch is all about. And that was Taka's second wife. And again, we see the importance of giving over the Messiah and making sure that our children follow in the drachim that they are supposed to. I want to share with you now what I feel is the greatest vort that I have ever heard on the Seder. I say it over every year, even though all my children and grandchildren have heard it, but it's a mitzvah of farsing this vort because it is so stunning, it's incredible. And of course it comes from an English and an Irish Rav, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, if anybody ever heard his CDs or whatever. Just the most amazing person, the greatest enthusiasm for Dvar Torah. Sometimes you think he's going to jump out of the CD, he's so excited. You know, when he quotes something from Rav Schwab or from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's just amazing. So he brings like this. Rabbeinu Manoach is one of the Rishonim that's on the Rambam. And you could look it up in the Rambam, Hilchos Chometz Matzah, Perikhes, Halacha Beis. The Rambam says, Maschil o Mavarach Ber Pi Adama, we start the Seder with Ber Pi Adama, of course after Kiddush, V'lakeach Yerek o Matavel, and you dip it in Charoises. And the Rabbeinu Manoach writes on this Rambam, V'onu Noegim B'Karpas, why do we dip in Karpas? Because of Iksoines Pasim. What in the world is he talking about? What's the Ksenis Pasim? Because they dipped the Ksenis Pasim in blood, right? And then they showed Yaakov this Ksenis Pasim, and Yaakov thought that his beloved son was killed. So that's why we dip the Karpas in salt water. What is the connection? And he says the most amazing thing. Now, if anybody has a Chumash in front of you, you should take out that Chumash, because nobody's going to believe one word that I'm about to tell you. Take a look in Parshas Vayeshev. Take a look, Bereishis Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Okay? If anybody has it over here, take a look at it, and we'll let you read something out loud you won't believe. Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bono. Yisrael loved his son Yosef from all the children. Ki ben zekunim huloi. Va'otzaloi k'sein es pasim. Okay? Does anybody have the Rashi in front of them by any chance? Otherwise, I'll read it to you. Zok Rashi, you won't believe it, you have to look it up. What is k'sein es pasim? Zokt Rashi, Pasim, Lashon, Klei Milas. That's like a garment of fine wool, of fine silk. Kamoi, Karpas. Rashi, in Vayeshev, says the word Karpas on Ksoinis Pasim. Kar is like a pillow, a fluffy pillow. That's what the coat was. It was a fluffy coat made out of this kind of fine wool, of fine silk. Klei Milas, Kamoi, Karpas, V'tcheles, Kamoi, Ksoinis, Rukeles. So now, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein says something ingenious. Rashi is telling us that Ksenis Pasim is Karpas. The Baal HaGadol wants to tell you, wait a second. Tonight you're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But before you start the Seder, before you get into Halach Mananya and everything, how do we get in there? How do we get in this mess? You know how we got in this mess? Because brothers couldn't get along. Because they took the Karpas. Karpas, they took the Ksenis Pasim and they dipped it in blood. And that's why Rachmana Litzlan, they had to go down to Mitzrayim. So, again, what Rabbi Isaac Bernstein is saying is that the Baal HaGadol is forewarning us. Don't just talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Talk about the Aveira that brought it about. And that was the sin aschinam. That was the sin among brothers. How many of us here and how many of us listening don't get along with close family members? Family members, Rachmana Litzlan, are arguing for years. Whether it's brother-in-law, sister-in-law, brother, sister, parents. There's so many situations. We have to make sure that there's an ava in Klal Yisrael. Especially in families. Some of us are much closer to other people outside the family than the family itself. That's not how it's supposed to be. And that's what the Baal HaGadol is telling us. And that's why he has it right at the beginning of the Seder. I want to tell you something that's very meaningful to me, as you'll see in a second. And I just think, again, there's a great lesson here as far as what the Yom Tov is all about. Now, all of you know my name is Pesach, right? Okay, so now let's watch. What does Pesach mean, by the way? Right? Everybody, you know.
Pesach,
right? Yeah, that's what everybody thinks. Skipping over, right? Passover, you know? So my Goyish friends used to call me Passover, right? Okay? But whatever. But let's watch now two Rashis, and you will faint, and I will be so proud. Not that you faint, but proud of what you're going to see here in a second. Again, you have to look it up to believe it. Shmois Yud Beis Pasuk Chav Gimel. Va'ovar Hashem Lingoif Es Mitzrayim. The Eivishter went to give plague to Mitzrayim. Ros Adam Ala Mashkoif. And he saw the blood on the lintel of Al Shtei HaMezuzahs and a doorpost. U'Pasach Hashem Ala Pesach. Pasach, that's Pesach. You know what Rashi says it means? V'chomal. He had Rachmanis. V'yeish Leimer Yidlai. Some say it means Passover. But the main pshat is that he had Rachmanis. And take a look now again in Shemais Yud Beis Chav Zayin, you won't believe it. V'amartem zevach pesach ul Hashem, asher posach al bote b'nei Yisrael. Zok te targum, dichos, Hashem had chas, he had rachmanes, al bote b'nei Yisrael. Oh, wait a second. So now Pesach means a different thing. I'm not just Passover, right? It means to have rachmanes. It means to have compassion. That's how the targum is telling us. That's the name of the yontif. Oh my goodness, if that's the name of the yontif, all of a sudden it takes on a different move-on. It's not just that Hashem skipped over and he passed over the houses where the Yidden had the blood on the mezuzahs and the mashkoif. This is a yontif of rachmanis. This is a yontif when you have to love everybody in Klal Yisrael and have rachmanis for those that have less than what you have. That's really what it's all about. So I'll tell you something. What does it mean to have rachmanis? I'll show you. You know what the Mishnah Berurah writes? It's an amazing thing. In Tov Chof Tes, right in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, Sif Aleph, Shoyelim Hilchos HaPesach, Koidim Pesach Shloshim Yom, we start talking about the Yontif and the Halachas, 30 days. Ominig Liknoi Schitin L'chalik Lanin L'tzorach Pesach. You have to give more Schitin. And you know what the Mishnah Berurah writes? In our minig, it's to give out, you know, flour. O Pasha Dim who oni god of Ainle Bamala Afai Samata Sarah Lita Lagam Demeafia, you have to give him even more. And the Mishabu writes in Sivkot and Vov in the same simon, the Ela Hamishtamtim Atzma Melitin Kemachanim Yesh Ovan Biyodom. Somebody who doesn't give Mois Khitan, that's an Aveira, it's a terrible Aveira. How often do we find that the Mishabu says, you know, you don't do this, that's a big Aveira. I don't remember that he says it in Hilch Shemin Esra or in Hilch Shabbos. Or in Hilchos Yontif, but he's telling you, there's no such thing as not giving more schitin. Now, many of us would feel uncomfortable going over to a poor person. But the Rav, where you are, no matter what you're, where you're davening, there will certainly be the Rav who will know, just like he knew who to give Matanas Lavyanim, he'll know who to give more schitin. So we have to make a commitment within 30 days of Pesach that we're going to give more schitin. That's part of the Rachmanis of what we have to do. And I'll tell you another thing, which is Rachmanis. You know, I'm a big believer in having two different types of Siddurim. One for your family only. No invites, because the girls want to sing. And if the girls want to sing, especially those Nigunim after Halel, every family has its own Adiru, every family has all the beautiful Chagadyas and how they do it, Echad Miyadeya. And these are things that make memories forever. But if your daughters are not going to be able to sing because you invite guests, I'm telling you, don't invite guests one night. The second night, or the first night, however you want, have as many guests as you want. Because that's also part of chinuch. And that's also part of Pesach, which means chas, to have rachmanis. But your family deserves a seder that's memorable. I have a son-in-law, Shlomo David Pfeiffer, who comes from German background. I don't know if you've ever been at a seder with people from German background. I mean, the Nagunim are like Haloch L'Moshe Mesinai. It's unbelievable. And now my grandchildren are singing at them. I can't believe it. My little grandson, my little granddaughter, right? You know, they were born in America, but they're singing the Yekesh Nagunim from 400 years ago. And that's how it should be. Every family, whether Sfarad or Ashkenaz, whatever, you have your own way, the way your father sang it. And your daughters have every right to know it. And so therefore, if there's going to be an impediment that the girls are not going to be able to sing, in my humble opinion, you should have a seder without inviting guests. And then, of course, the second one, of course, you should invite guests. I want to tell you like this. I want to tell you a great story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Just unbelievable. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach had a nephew. His name is Rav Michal. And he called him once, a couple days before Pesach. He said, you got to come to me. After you've burned the chametz, you got to come to me. I need you to do me a favor. So he said, Uncle, you know, don't forget that he sold only one day Pesach, so everybody is so busy, you know. And he says, but isn't, I can't do it before? No. You got to come Erev Pesach, right after you burn the chametz. Okay, the Godel Hador is his uncle, and he's telling him he's got to come, so he's got no choice, he comes, right? And Rav Shlomo Zalman has 10 envelopes on the table, names and addresses. Now this guy, Rav Michal, is a Oisik B'Tzor Chatzibo, so he gave out so much money that he raised and others raised, and he gave it out to Aniyim. And he takes a look at some of the names and addresses, he recognizes his uncle. He says, I know these people, I already gave some of these people Mois Chitim, and I know that they got money from other sources as well. He says, don't ask me any questions, just go and deliver them, make sure you deliver them today. Before Yontif and a good Yontif. Okay, so he's got no choice. Okay, so now he's got 10 envelopes. Okay, so he's rushing. But by the fifth one, he was like a little bit slowing down already. And he watched how the guy was so excited that Rav Shlomo Zalman had sent him an envelope. He watched how the guy opened up the envelope, and you would not believe what was in there. Like 200 shkolim, you know, a little bit amount of money, and tickets to the Gan HaChayos, tickets to the Biblical Zoo. Who's going to the zoo Erev Yontif? What was the rush? He can't believe it. The next house, he already waits for the guy to open up or the woman to open up the envelope. It's the same thing. 200 pounds and tickets to the Gan HaChayos. What is going on here? That's what I had to rush Erev Yontif to give out tickets to the Biblical Zoo. And everyone he sees, obviously, it's all the same. Now, of course, it was Erev Yontif. He couldn't go back to Yeshua Shem Zalman. B'chol HaMoed, the first thing in the morning after he died, he ran to his uncle. He says, you got to explain this. Nobody's going to the zoo Erev Yontif. What was the rush? Listen to the genius and the sensitivity of Rav Shem Zalman. He says, I know the kids in Yerushalayim. I know their mindset. Yontif, they're going to be in shul, and one kid is going to ask the other kid, where are you going, Chol HaMoed? And this guy's going to say he's going to this place, he's got a Yeshua, this place is going to this place or whatever, this trip or whatever. They're going up north or down south or whatever. And these poor kids of these families, they're going to have nothing to say. And they're going to feel terrible. It's going to ruin their Simchas Yontif. And not only that, they're going to come home and complain to their parents. And they're going to ruin the Simchas Yontif of their parents. So that's why I wanted that all these kids from these poor families, Erev Yontif, they should know already, they also have a place to go. Who thinks of that? The Godel Hador? That's what we should think about. This year it's a very big Chol HaMoed. There are a lot of people that are going to take trips. What about your nephews who can't afford it? What about the kids down the block who can't afford it? Maybe you should either give their parents money so that they should be able to go on a trip, or take them on a trip. Take them with you and tell them before you end if they also have a place to go. That's part of Pesach. That's part of Chas. That's part of having Rachmanis. So, of course, there's so much more to say, but I want to tell you this, which is so chaviv and so precious to me, as you'll see in a second. Most of you who know me personally know that my father passed away when I was 21. My mother, unfortunately, was an almana for 40 long years. She was the quintessential almana. She never got over the passing of my father. And Baruch Hashem, I have a wonderful wife. The furthest that we ever lived from my mother was 2 blocks. And I was very, very close to my mother. There was nothing that we couldn't talk about, and there was nothing that anybody could ever tell me about her that I didn't know. Except 2 years ago. 2 years ago, my nephew calls me up, and my mother passed away on the first day, right after first day Yontif of Sukkot. She passed away, it was the beginning already of Chol HaMoed at night. And the one who stayed with her, she was in the hospital near Lakewood, and my nephew, Rabbi Yehuda Gutman, he stayed with her. He was there because he lives in Lakewood, and he walked over and he was there a whole day with her. So he calls me up and he says, Uncle Pesach, I want to tell you something about your mother that you don't know. I said, it's impossible. What could I not know about my mother? He said, I'm telling you, I was the only one there. I saw something and I never understood what she did, why she did it, and I never told you. But he's a Rebbe in Edison, New Jersey, and he teaches, I think, 5th grade. And he said, I was teaching certain halachas, and all of a sudden I saw something, and now it made sense what happened 10 years ago when she passed away. I can't believe it. He said, what happened? I said, what happened? He said, you know, it was Sukkot morning, the second day Yontif. And Bubby, as he called her, wasn't responding anymore. I didn't know if she knew what I was saying or whatever, but I came over to her and I said, Bubby, would you like to shake the lulav and esrig? And she didn't respond. So I said, Bubby, here, take the lulav and esrig. I'll put it in my hand. I'll wrap my hands around your hands. Hold it. And we'll make the bracha together. And he took her hands and he wrapped around the lulav and the esrig, and they made, and he made the bracha. He didn't know if she said the bracha, she was thinking of the bracha. She certainly didn't say amen. He didn't realize if she was responding or not, or if she knew what was going on. Okay, they finished. They made the nenuim, all the four ways, six ways. And then he said, okay, Bobby, let me take back the lulav and the esrig. And she wouldn't give it to him. She was holding on to it. And he was surprised because he didn't think that she knew what was going on. But she would not give it back to him. Her hands were wrapped tight around the lulav and the esrig. So he figured, okay, if she wants to hold it, let her hold it. So he took his hands away. The second that he took his hands away, she took the lulav and the esrig. She kissed the lulav, she kissed the esrig, and she gave it back to him. He said, I almost fainted. I didn't realize that she knew even that this was a Dvar Mitzvah. Didn't look to me like she said the words. Didn't look to me like she knew what was going on, but obviously she must have known something because she kissed the lulav and the esrig. So I said, so why didn't you tell it to me all these years? He said, because I didn't understand it. Why she did that until this year, and you could look it up, you could go crazy from this. Look up the Ber Heitev, the Orach Chaim, and Mishnah Berurah, Tov Ayin Zayin, Sifkot Nalef. Watch this. Kosav Shlo HaKodesh. The Shlo HaKodesh writes, Ra'isi Mibnei Aliyah. I saw the Hechra mention. Show you Menashkin HaMatzos. They used to kiss the matzahs. I never in my life kissed the matzah until 2 years ago. They used to kiss the matzahs and the morah that I couldn't do. But I did the matzahs. Okay? V'chein sukkah. They used to kiss the sukkah. How many people of us kiss the sukkah like a mezuzah when you go in? V'chnisosai uv'tziyosai. And then he writes, V'chein dalad minim shebelulav. And the dalad minim also you're supposed to kiss. I remember my mother as a child. I remember my mother telling me to kiss the lulav and the esrig, and of course all my children and grandchildren do it. V'akoil l'chavoy v'mitzvah, to show how much you love the mitzvah. V'ashrei misha ovid Hashem b'simcha. Lucky is the person who serves Hashem b'simcha. This year, don't be embarrassed. Kiss the matzahs. Let your kids kiss the matzahs. And bring this Ber Heitev, and believe the Mishnah Berurah also brings it, Tov Ayin Zayin. That's chinuch. That's what you show your child. You love the sukkah. You kiss it when you go in. You kiss the lulav and esrog. You kiss the matzah. You kiss the morah. Of course they're going to laugh the first time. But it's a siman. It shows what you are. It shows our connection to mitzvahs. The Eibishter should help in this wonderful period of time of freilichkeit between the Simchas Purim and the Simchas Yontif of Pesach, that we should all elevate ourselves and our connection to Hashem, and we should be zeicha to the Geula. B'mehera b'yameinu. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.